Well, good evening, and welcome back to Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place, and I welcome you here. To tell you the truth, I did not prepare for today. I've been on a little trip. We went to see the Lavender Festival over in the Olympics. So I didn't prepare. So I'm really looking forward to somebody calling in and setting the subject matter. I'm just glad that you are here. Anyway, so I got to thinking about what can I talk about if nobody calls in, and I'm not a religious person in any way, shape, or form, but I do like reading the New Testament and what Jesus, or Yeshua, as I call him, Yeshua ben Joseph, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, son of Joseph, said. And when I first got to looking into metaphysics, spirituality, whatever you want to name it, the first thing I did, because I was raised Catholic, was to go to the Bible. And I'm going, wow, boy, I got to seeing how the Bible and the sayings of Jesus could mean something different than what the interpretation has been given to us and by the churches and by the Catholic Church. And they're saying, oh, this is what he says, and this is how we want you to interpret it. Well, when I went in there and looked, I saw something totally different. And so I've always been interested. You know, there's every rabbi, every priest, every minister, they all have their favorite Bible quotes, don't they? There are some that they will use over and over and over, and then some that they wouldn't touch with a 100-foot pole if you paid them to. Because why? Because what they want to teach you, the religions, and what there could be something else out there that totally contradicts the way they would have their followers believe. But they don't touch those. And so it's like, okay, well, we won't talk about this. This is the one we're going to talk about. This is the one that keeps you under control, our control, because when you think about it, when you really think about it, the only two words that keeps all of the populace of the world under control is two words. God said. That's all a minister has to say. That's all a priest has to say. That's all a rabbi has to say. That's all they have to say. God said. And they've got billions of people under control. It is amazing when you think about it. So some of them, which I think that we like kind of pass over, or the religions pass over, there's one here, it's Luke 17:21 through 18. And it says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So what does that mean? He's saying, the ones that are trying to tell you who they are, they're not like myself. They're not going to say, over here, go over here, or go over there. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, the kingdom of God is within you. And that is a true statement. You have this power. We have this power within us. It is innately in each and every one of us. And this is what Yeshua was trying to tell us. You're not going to look here or there. You're going to look within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So there's a couple other ones. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. He's just trying to tell you, if you're looking at me, you're seeing the God within me that is in with you. So it was really interesting. I'm not going to go into it today, but what I did years ago is I went through like the King James Version and the Vulgate Version and the Wide Mouth Version and the Webster Version, all these dictionaries, all these Bibles are out there. And if you would take the chapter and verse and put them side by side, they're similar but not exact. And just that one word difference changes the whole meaning. It just changes the whole meaning. And I think it was last week or the week before I read to you about my perceptions. And what a perception is somebody's idea and how they see things. There's 6.9 billion. But, well, maybe it's not that much. At least 6 billion perceptions out there right now. On this earth, there are 6 billion perceptions. And so which one of those billions of perceptions are correct? And if none of these billions of perceptions are correct, which one of the billions of perceptions before us, all the ones that have passed away, who was right then? Which one? Some would say Jesus. Some would say Buddha. Some people would say Zoroastus. No matter who the guru is, there's so many different religions out there. There's 1,700. The Catholic Church being the biggest of the church. I mean, the priests have always worked. We're always under the impression that the priest heard directly from God and then he passed the message down. I have since learned and chosen to believe that I have my own 1-800 number to God. I don't need a third party to tell me. So anyway, this before my radio program today, we found a little bird out in our driveway. It's a little blue jay. And he obviously fell out of the nest before he was ready, and his wings are not mature enough for him to fly. And Mom and Dad are yelling and screaming, but they don't come down to the ground to him. And we have cats in the area and hawks in the area and raccoons in the area, and he's just bait, you know. And so we've been putting this little milk crate over him. We just fed him right before this program. And it reminded me of Matthew 6:26. It says, look at the birds of the air. Neither they sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? So this little bird came to us. We were directed to this little bird, and we're going to raise him. And he looks pretty healthy. Hopefully he will raise him until he can fly away. Probably got a couple weeks there. But he's always taken care of. And so this little bird was taken care of by us getting to him before the cats or the hawks or the raccoons got to him. So there's a lot of different quotes in this Bible. I'm trying to sit in here scanning them since I didn't prepare today. There's this one that I've always liked, and it said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate that is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. And I've always thought about this, and it's those who, like Yeshua, like Buddha, I can't get them off the top of my head, but you know, all the ones that I'm talking about, all these entities that have become famous and have figured it out, it took them a lot of courage to learn about that power within them. It took a lot of courage for Yeshua ben Joseph to learn how to learn about that power within them. And because why? Because you have to step out of the box. You have to step out of the nine dots. But he says here, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate that is wide and the way is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Those are the ones that, you know, they go, oh, well, I got this reverend down the road. He's telling me how to live my life. I don't have to step out of the nine dots. I'll just go live in social consciousness. They would never step outside of social consciousness, ever. They just do. I'm just trying to figure out one here. And we'll go to the other one. Hold on, give me 2 seconds. Oh, this is the one, one of my favorite ones. Because we're always talking, the churches always say how we sin. Jesus was saying, go forth and sin no more. What he was saying was don't get caught up in the sinning game. Don't play the sinning and redemption game. Because that, number one, is a habit, and the habit comes from chemicals. You get a fix. Every time a Christian or a person who goes to Catholic Church, you know, they sin and they feel bad, da-da-da-da. They go in the confessional and they confess and they come out feeling good. Why? Because they got a fix. They got a chemical release. They now feel good because the priest told them they were saved. And once they have that, they get a burst of adrenaline, and that makes them feel good so they can go sin again and then get redeemed. And every time they get redeemed, they get a chemical fix. It's like heroin. So anyway, there's many quotes in the Bible about Jesus saying, you know, stop playing the sinning game. And so there's this one part of the Bible, quote, and again, you know, these are perceptions of people's translations. And so we all grab on to our favorite, and these are my favorites. Priests and rabbis and reverends, they have their own ministers. They have their own favorites. So I'm just talking about mine. And it's in John. He goes, and as he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who has sinned that this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God were to be made manifest in him. So if somebody's having, you know, one lifetime after the next, and they can't learn how to appreciate life, what better way to come back than to become blind? To appreciate life. And he says that the works of God were to be made manifest in him. He manifested his own destiny to be blind. But so if we were sinners, like with original sin, he's saying this man or his parents have not sinned. So that kind of like throws original sin right out the door, doesn't it? How can they live so old? He is a man. His parents are older, and they've not sinned. How does that fit into the sinning game? And then it goes on. He goes, we know whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Whoever, if we're born of God, which we all are, sinneth not. Everyone's born of God. And he says, sinneth not. Now again, what we're doing here is we're reading translations upon translations upon translations. You know, maybe some made it through pure. I don't know. But I'm just telling you my favorite parts of certain Bibles. This is the King James Version. There's so many versions out there, it's not even funny. And I didn't know that till I was 38. There's another one after that. Another, this is in Matthew 7:29. for he taught them as one. Remember, I'm always telling you, another one, someone, someone else, one. We always attach it to one. There's only one thing. There's only a single source, and we're it. This single source started manifesting and different entities, but we all came from it. So we're not separate from it. And it's just like if you have 50 thoughts, right? If you're in your head and you have 50 thoughts going out at one time, they're all separate thoughts, but they came from the single source, your head. So there's no separation. It's all the same one thing. So he, it says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes teach you that you do not have authority, that they have authority. Another Matthew 1 is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is this? Righteousness, right use thereof, the right use of the power within you. When you hunger to know that God within you, that power within you, you shall be filled. You'll get it. But you have to go after it. And again, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Once you, if you're persecuted, there's so many people out there that are persecuted for thinking in the metaphysical way, for thinking in the spiritual way. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the right use thereof of the power within you. Some call it the power of attraction. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Where is heaven? Heaven is within you. When you figure that out, when you figure that the God is born within you, that that is where heaven resides within you, then everything starts becoming very, very, very clear. For I come not to call the righteous, because he knows he doesn't have to. They already figured it out. For I am not come to call the righteous. They don't need his help. They know that they're a God. They know how to use their power. But sinners to repent. So the whole sentence is, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What is the repentance? What is the, look it up in the dictionary, go back, research it. Repentance means to change your mind. That's what the word repentance means, to change your mind. So how I read this is, I'm not calling the righteous, but to sinners to repentance. He's telling them not to sin if not. Don't sin, don't get caught up in that sinning game. And to change your thinking. So you can use the right to the righteous, the right use thereof of how you think. Again in Matthew, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's saying you got to outthink these guys who are telling you that you are sinners, that are telling you you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what they're telling you. And he's saying, for I say unto you that except that your righteousness, your right use of, shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, the rabbis, the reverends, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't when you're playing the sinning game. You can't when you listen to somebody else instead of that power and that voice within you. (Clears Here's one I never hear any of the religions grab onto. It's in John, and it says, "It is not written in your law," I said, "ye are gods." Well, nobody in their right mind in a religion is going to touch that one. They took it out of the books. I don't have it in front of me, but there's actually a lot of passages in the Bible that talks about reincarnation. And Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do they think I am?" And I forgot the name. It's somebody who's died hundreds of years before. Do they think I'm him? Talking about reincarnation. So they're not. No religion is going to tell you that ye are gods. They won't touch John 10:34 for 10-foot pole, 100-foot pole. But it made it through. Another John quote is, "Blessed are those who do not see, but believe." See, you can't be a little bit pregnant with faith. It's either you have it or you don't. And faith is based on things that you cannot see or touch, feel. You just have to know. It's called absolute knowledge. And it says, "Blessed are those who do not see, but believe." And when you absolutely know, when you absolutely believe that you can manifest anything, it will appear on your screen of life. You just have to focus. You just have to believe. You just have to have faith. You absolutely have to know that you are creating on your screen and that it will appear. And when you get to that point, your manifestations are going to start popping right and left. They have to. You're in charge. Okay, so I'm going to hand out the phone numbers, and everybody just rush to the phone and call in. So then, toll-free numbers for the United States and Canada are 888-228-4494. That is 888-228-4494 for the United States and Canada. Worldwide, it's 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. And I hope you call in. Okay. And the next one. "O thee of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I believe that's when Peter was walking across the water, and he was walking. And Yeshua was encouraging, "Come on, come on." And all of a sudden, when he got closer to Jesus, he started sinking. Jesus held out his hand and said, "O thee of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" At what point in time did Peter go, "Oh my God, I'm walking on water. This is not possible. Sink." Because he doubted himself. Even though he was doing it, he doubted himself. Then in Luke, "Thy will be done." That's not Jesus' will. That's your will. Can you imagine? I mean, I guess we can't imagine because there's a lot of people that do it. They rely on Jesus so much because they don't know how powerful they are. Can you imagine being Jesus up there in the sky, in the heavens, and billions upon billions upon billions of requests daily? Not only for goodies, but for forgiveness. Does that make sense to you? I don't think he wants to babysit. I think he wants to go play. And this is where people should take over their life, you know, and be strong and learn how to manifest and be responsible for their life. Because all they got to do is go say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And the voice is going to say, oh, you are so forgiven. And they're going, oh, my God, he forgave me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then they feel forgiven, and then by the end of next Sunday, they're going to be sinning all over the place, and they're going to go back for forgiveness. And every time they do that, they get a charge, which is chemical, which is adrenaline. You're getting a fix. In Matthew, he goes, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. He never said, my faith. He said, in your faith. They knew. They really could have touched themselves and cured themselves. But they weren't there quite yet. But he was. And he says, you think I can do this? And they go, yeah. And he says, okay, according to your faith, be it unto you. He never said, be it unto my power. He said, it's your faith that's curing you. Here's another one. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, for thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole. He again, nothing about his power. It was her. She knew, if I just touch it, I'll be cured. She knew that. It's called absolute knowledge. Even if he never turned around and said a word to her, she would have been cured. Because she has the faith. And he told her that. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And here's a more extended version of what I was talking about. Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. That leads to destruction. Okay, for the gate is wide and easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard, that leads to life. And those who find it are few. There are few who have gone through the narrow gate. Most of us have gone through the wide gate. But those, the only two names I can think of tonight is Buddha, Yeshua, Zarathustra. You know which ones I'm all talking about. They figured how to get through the narrow great gate, but it was very, very hard to do it. Jesus made it. And then, about judging. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Well, we're all children and sons of the Father. Every one of us. And what do? We judge each other a lot. The Father says, I'm not judging the soul. You guys deal with it. Doesn't need it to happen. I go around and I listen to people. Hey, I'm not judging them for judging. I'm not. But I find it amazing that we all want peace. And that's the first thing out of people's mind. What do you want in life? I would love peace. I don't want war anymore. And yet, so many people will turn around and look somebody in the eye. Well, they didn't even look them in the eye. They wait for their back to be turned, and then they just tear them to pieces. I listen to that in conversations. All, and then they say they want peace. Well, you can't have peace and then tear somebody up to pieces because they are who they are. They are the way that God made them. And, you know, they're just trying to muddle through life like the rest of us. And Gandhi's quote is, we must be the changes that we want to see. And until we start practicing this, it's never going to happen. You can't be peaceful and gossipy at the same time. You can't be peaceful and tear people down at the same time. Do you see where the oil and the water aren't mixing here? If you can't say something nice, just don't say it at all. Everybody has a father within them. And again, we talk about letting go. And Matthew kind of talks about it. It goes, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Again, in you. Everything that you need is within you. You don't have to ask. He already knows. There's another one in John. You don't think we each have a God within us. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. It's not the same Father. It's this power of our individual powers within us. There's another one. He's trying to separate it out. Touch me not. This is when he was right before he's ascending. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. He's separating it out. That we each have this Father within us. And in John, you know, in the beginning there was the Word. I think, I don't know exact quote in Genesis. But in John it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're all that God. We're all that flesh. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is, and so many people already know it, Deepak Chopra knows it. The people who put on The Secret know it. Conversations in God knows it. The Four Agreements, the authors know it. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You will be free of the religions that tie you down. You won't need them anymore. And that's why they don't want you to know. And that's why they won't read. Know that ye are gods. People are starting to figure out what's going on. That the religions have persecuted, killed, plundered, and created sin in order to keep the rest of us under control. It's that simple. If you didn't believe what they believed, you were murdered. And when the Christians knew, the Christ knew who they were, Yeshua knew who he was, and there was Christians before them. Christians means man, God, woman, God. They knew who they were, a Christ. A man, God, woman, God realized. And when they couldn't keep those people under control, they cut their heads off. They hung them up alongside the road so other people could see. They put their heads on spears alongside the road so other people could see that the warlords, the popes of the Catholic Church, kept people under control through the Crusades. They went all over Europe killing people and saying, this is the way you're going to believe from now on. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Once you figure out how to manifest, once you figure out that there's this power within you, once you figure out that you don't have to go through a third party, that you have your own 1-800 number, you shall be free. You will know. Neither shall they say, lo, go here, or lo, go there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Doesn't that make sense? If you got the kingdom and God within you, you don't need somebody else telling you what God said or what rules, what means and means of rules he has laid down. Oh my God, of all the religions from all these years, you know, for 5,000 years ago, there's millions of sins that we can create. We couldn't read them all. Those are control issues. Those are to control you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I'd like to turn that around because it's my perception, right? Perfection is a limitation. Once you reach perfection, there's nowhere else to go. But since we can always go beyond perfection, there's always someplace else to go. The perfection lies within, that you know who you are. The Father within you knows who he is. That's the perfection. But as far as manifestation, there's no perfection there, because we never end in creating things. The creation never stops. I mean, look at the computer. It was, you know, one computer filled a huge room, and they're still not perfect. They're always in motion for more creation. That's all we do down here, is live, breathe, eat, and create. That's all we do. We're creators. We are co-creators. In Genesis, it says we're going to be co-creators. We're co-creators of the single source. And we all do different things. And we all share these different things. Oh, look what I painted. Look what I built. Look. We all share that with each other. We are co-creators of the whole. Here's another one. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where's heaven? It is within you. Where's your kingdom? Within you. Thy will be done. Your will be done from heaven, your thought process, on earth as it is in heaven. You're duplicating on earth what you thought of in heaven. Where's heaven? Within you. It's a duplication. Thy will be done. Your will, your thought process, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are just you are making mass from your thought process, heaven. heaven, your will, your thoughts, heaven, your will create it on earth. Thy kingdom come. That's your kingdom. That's your creation. That's what you're doing. Thy kingdom come. That's your creation. Thy will be done. Your will do your creation on earth as it is in heaven. So the heaven was your kingdom, and you thought about it in your kingdom, and now it's on earth. Matthew. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Yes. When you trust completely, when you let go, you've heard it. God. Let go, let God, let go. Name it. It doesn't have to be the word God. It could be Jim or Harry or Jane. Whatever you want to name it. This power is within you. And it will take care of you because you... What are you talking to when you're thinking in your head? What is listening? You? Are you talking to yourself? Well, in essence, you are. But there's something else that you are acknowledging. Some people call it the observer. The observer, this power within you, when you talk to it, it listens and it performs. There's so, and money that says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We hold on to each other. We have this little piece of paper. It's green. It's like six inches long and 2 inches wide. Do you know that determines who we speak to, who we're mad at, who we're not going to speak to, who we're going to hold a grudge for? Can you believe that we allow this little piece of paper to become between us and another human being? Unbelievable. And yet, so many Christians will talk about this every Sunday. They will recite this prayer. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We're asking God to forgive our sins. But we won't forgive our debtors. But we say we're going to every Sunday or every night when we say the Lord's Prayer. It says we forgive our debtors. What crap. They will quote it, and they don't even know what they're quoting. But they ask God to forgive their debt, and then they'll call a person and harass the shit out of them because they owe them a few bucks. Whether it's a few bucks or thousands of bucks. The guy can't pay, he can't pay. Walk away. You can always re-manifest it. That's how powerful you are. Go to him and hug him and say, man, I know if you had the money, you'd pay me. I will not put this green piece of paper between you and me. I respect you as a human being. I gave you the money. That was my responsibility. I take full credit for it. I made the decision. You didn't pay it back for whatever reason. I don't care what the reason is. I don't care if you spent it foolishly. I don't care if you burnt it. I don't care if you gave it away. I don't care. I gave it to you. I would like to have it back someday. But if it never happens, you and I are friends. people with money. Oprah is one of them. I heard her say it. I've heard so many rich people say it. I don't lend money. I give it. If I get it back, that's great. But that money is not going to come between me and the person I gave it to. And until we stop ragging on each other, until we start, like, saying this prayer and, like, knowing what it means, and then following through, you will ask God to forgive every so quote-unquote sin that you may have or may not have done. Never sin, number one. But number two, if you think you have, you ask for forgiveness daily. And you want every one of them erased. But you won't forgive someone else, especially when it comes to money. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came and said, you sinneth not. He's trying to get you away from the sinning game. They that are whole have no need of the physician. But they that are sick, I come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Repent the way you are thinking. Change the way you are thinking. There is no sin. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. He didn't say doubt or fear. He said, believe that ye shall receive them. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. No ifs, ands, or buts. He didn't put anything in there except believe. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you will have them. For your Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask Him. There's no maybe in there. There's no kind of sort of in there. You're going to have it. Verily, verily, let's see, well, Matthew, all these things I do, ye can do, and also in even better. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. He's saying, if you believe what I'm telling you, if you believe on me, he's never saying, hey, throw me all your stuff, I'll take care of it. The works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he, that he does. He never said, throw them all at me and I'll take care of them. In Matthew, he says, all things are possible. He also says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where is the kingdom of heaven? It's right in front of you. It's in your head. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It is in your hand. Here's another one. I mean, the Bible's full of them. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Listen to this one. I love this one. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. since you are God, every word that comes out of your mouth, you shall live by. Why do we know that? Because everything that you think and speak happens when you focus on it and give it energy. That's how powerful you are. That's how you live. That's how you determine how you're going to live. You determine how you live by thinking and speaking and acting towards. That makes you you. That makes you who you are, where you live, where you work. Thinking, speaking, and acting towards. Every word that comes out, unless you change your mind, which you have the right to do, I am going to be a physician. Bam, 10 years ago, later you're a physician. I am going to be a dog catcher. Boom, get a job within 6 months. I'm a dog catcher. Thinking, speaking, and acting towards dictates who you are. If you could just get that, if you could just change your mind, use the capability, the power within you, that you can change your mind, change your verbiage, change your focus, act towards your goal, and it will happen. If you have no doubt, you have no fear, you only have faith and knowledge, absolute knowledge. When you go to that part of your life and that focus, you will manifest your new world. It is that simple. According to your faith, be it done to you. Your faith, be it done to you. And if any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He's telling you, I don't judge. I've come to tell you not to play the sinning game. I'm here to help you save yourself. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness, right use thereof of your power. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right use, in his righteousness, right use therefore of, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does this make sense? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know how, you have to rightly know how to use this kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Another quote. And when you seek that first, then you are your own fairy godmother. When you know how to use the rightly know how to use the kingdom of God, which is within you, then you're the fairy godmother, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's right there, black and white, in the Bible. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Doesn't this make sense? Doesn't it make sense to my little children, this is in John, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He knows how to, he knows what he's doing. He has the right knowledge. He has the right use thereof. And he says, and he was coming to teach us. Anything that I can do, you can do even better. There is no sin. When God started creating with the Big Bang, he never said, okay, let's see what I can create, what I can't create. Because if I create that, it'll be a sin, I'm sure of it. Because I'll make it a sin. He didn't set forth, he just set forth creation, and then like Genesis, we are the co-creators. Well, I guess my time's up for the night. Thank you for tuning in. I loved your phone calls. I say that tongue-in-cheek. And we will see you next week. Until then, be kind to your fellow human being. It doesn't hurt to be nice. And forgive your debts, because you want your debts to be forgiven. Until then, I'll see you next Sunday. Good night.